Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpiny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Friday, April 28th, 2023, and joining Derek to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Simon Mays, Head of UK, Ireland and Swiss Corporate Sales. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
Good afternoon, Derek. Really good to have you here with me as we head into the long weekend. I hope you've had a good week.
Yep. Thank you, Simon. And you, I hope.
Absolutely. Yeah. It looks like the dollar's closing a week on a stronger footing, in particular against the yen after the Bank of Japan meeting earlier today. So I guess the dollar yen move is pretty understandable, but can you give us your take on the broader dollar strength this week, given that it has also gained against many other currencies?
Yeah, it has. It's up pretty much against every currency, I think, bar possibly the pound. So pretty broad-based gains. Some of that coming just today, I think definitely some of the data in Europe is weighing on euro dollar a little bit. We're creeping a little bit back up, but we've been weaker most of the day. GDP data was a bit weaker in Germany. Inflation data from Germany, again, a little bit on the weaker side. So the overall eurozone GDP came in a touch weaker. So, you know, the market has been priced up until today for about 33, 34 basis points from the ECB next week. That's eased off now. And I think when you look at certainly front-end yields in Europe, down about 12 basis points, I think the market's having a rethink on the prospects of 50 basis points next week. So I think that's certainly part of the story. I think also, you know, yesterday, for example, the short end of the US curve jumped pretty notably. Up about 12 basis points. We've taken some of that back today, but still up from yesterday's gains. And we had a strong equity market performance. Tech earnings results were good, so the S&P was up 2% yesterday. The catalyst from a data perspective was probably the core PCE inflation and the GDP data. That came in stronger than expected. But, you know, when you look at the GDP figure itself, I thought it was pretty bad. 1.1% quarter on quarter. That in itself was weaker than what was expected. But then people focused on the personal consumption print, which was strong at 3.7%. However, as we saw today from the monthly consumption data, all of that consumer strength was actually in January when we had an unusually warm start to the year. We had a contraction in consumption in February, and then it was flat in the data today. So while the quarter-on-quarter print in terms of consumption was strong, it was all January, and the momentum of the US economy is weakening, and that sets us up, I think, for a weak Q2 and potentially a contraction in growth. So the recession prospect is still with us, and therefore, you know, the inflation print that was stronger that helped to kind of lift yields, it's a bit dubious, to be honest, because really from a forward-looking perspective, the data would argue that the momentum for inflation is going to turn lower as well. But nonetheless, I think maybe just the markets, it could be positioning as well into the Fed meeting next week, could explain part of that. And then, Simon, as you said, the real surprise was the surprise to us, was the near 2% rally in dollar yen on the back of the first BOJ meeting from Ueda. You know, I say surprise because, you know, I think the general expectation was the BOJ would do nothing. Based on the comments from Ueda in his nomination hearings, in the Diet this week, he was going to be dovish and emphasize the need to carry on with the current policy. We got all of that. We had also this full policy assessment that will take up to a year and a half. But of course, as Ueda himself said, that certainly isn't any kind of indicator of there being no policy change over that period of time. But I just think, I think maybe we got it wrong. Maybe the markets were more positioned for some kind of hints on YCC being ended or something to give the markets a belief that YCC could be ended, at the June meeting or the July meeting. That now has been pushed back. And I think that has kind of fueled this bigger move than we certainly expected in terms of this 2% jump. I'm not convinced of the last, but the reasons are there in terms of the expectations following the BOJ meeting. But there's plenty on the other side of the coin in terms of the dollar coin part of dollar yen, where I'd be skeptical about this move being sustained.
And you mentioned initially there the ECB meeting next week. We also have the FOMC meeting and the key jobs report as well at the end of the week. So it's a pretty busy week. How do you think that's all going to play out for the FX markets?
Yeah, a very important week. And certainly from the FOMC, again, I think the expectations are pretty clear in terms of this being the last 25 basis point hike before a pause. That's certainly priced into the OAS market. So therefore, the markets will certainly be looking for some changes in the statement. At the moment, we have this guidance of additional policy firming may be appropriate. So I think that will be dropped, put in its place, something more conditional on incoming economic data. If they wanted to be bolder in terms of signaling a pause, they could state that they will be patient in assessing incoming data. That's the guidance they used in 2019 after they had paused in December 2018. Now, I'm not convinced they'll go that far in terms of signaling patience. That would imply at least a meeting or two of assessing the data. But of course, I think the FOMC will still be nervous about some shock inflation prints that come in that may force them to want to go again. So I don't think they'll go that far, but they'll certainly give some signals in terms of a willingness to pause. And then the press conference will be important. Now we have the minutes from the last meeting, which indicates that the Fed staff expect recession by the end of the year. So I think that will get a lot of airtime in the press conference. And with that, of course, the idea of rate cuts by the end of the year, there's about 35 basis points of cuts priced into the market at the moment. His willingness to even entertain that as a topic will be important in terms of the pricing for cuts at the end of the year. ECB, as I've said, the market's kind of taken back the prospects of 50 basis points. I think that's correct. I think 25 basis points is what we'll get. But of course, there will be a difference relative to the Fed, which will have taken place the previous day on Wednesday. On Thursday, the ECB will be much more hawkish, nothing about a pause, I don't think anyway. The market's priced for two more rate hikes in June and July. At this point, I doubt Lagarde will want to alter that. And for that reason, I think she'll play it safe and signal that more is needed, and the markets will probably maintain that pricing. And that's been a big catalyst for euro dollar. As we've been highlighting, this kind of shift in ECB thinking and then the Fed potentially pausing, the 2-year swap rate now in Europe is back to levels we haven't seen since 2015. And when we look at the 2-year average G10 rate, 2-year rate versus the euro as a spread, that's now back at levels that we haven't seen since the global financial crisis. So, there's been a very favorable shift in spreads based on what the ECB is doing. And certainly from a 2-year dollar euro swap basis, the current levels would imply euro dollar trading a little bit over 115. I think the end state that we will be in after those meetings should be still relatively supportive for euro dollar. And then, of course, then it's down to payrolls on Friday. And as I've said on this podcast before, the signs are there of labor market beginning to weaken. And I think there's a reasonable chance we'll start to see that in the payrolls next week. So this kind of dollar strength at the end of this week could reverse by the end of next week.
And that leads me nicely onto my next question, actually. I wanted to touch on your recent trade ideas. it seems like a lot of the strategies recently have been formed around, a core dollar short view. So do you have any update on that for our listeners?
Yes. Ouch on dollar yen. We've been short dollar yen. We were going to cut it today, but, you know, after what I've just said and having thought about it a little bit, we're still below the 200-day moving average. We're still below the high of 137.90. We've got a stop in the 138s, so we've decided to leave it. I just think it's a little bit overdone, so I have a hunch it's partly positioning. And when there's a kind of not a reassessment of the BOJ meeting, but a kind of a further think, perhaps the view will be that the move up was a little bit overdone. Of course, the BOJ dropped its guidance on having a bias for lower rates. And of course, YCC, while it might have been pushed back a bit, it's still something that will likely be changed this year. But really, it's about the US, it's about the Fed pausing, it's about potentially weaker payrolls next week, and it's about the oncoming recession, which I think could be here now in terms of contraction of growth in Q2. So all of that is not particularly favorable for dollar yen. So we've decided to keep it for now. We also have long euro dollar, so another dollar short position. And I've gone through that already. We're still quite confident that there's good support at these levels for euro dollar over the short term.
Thank you very much. I hope you and our listeners all have a good weekend.
Thanks, Simon. And you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.